This is a day that ends in Y. Welcome to the Backpack Show. Carrie, how are you?
I'm so excited because we're going to talk with a pretty scary author.
I'm already nervous.
Julie Hutchings.
She's the Hutchingiest.
I've been listening to her book, The Harpy, and I really like it. So I'm excited.
Is there a lot of loud, screechy noises? Is there a lot of...
I mean, there's like some, as one would expect, but nothing. It's not too much. It's no worse than doing audio setup for a live show.
What a day it's been. Let's just dive in. We'll grab ourselves some Julie.
Welcome to the Backpack Show with your hosts, Chris Brogan and Carrie Gargone. Boom shakalaka.
What a day, what a day. Author Julie Hutchings just made it rock. Hi, Janice. Good to see you. Welcome, everybody. You know what I didn't pull up? I wonder if I can do it or am I going to risk everything? Hang on one second. Let's try it. We had a great piece of media show up. And, you know, if there's a day that something's going to break, that's the day you should try to do something.
Yeah, of course. Unique, So we've had one person only who is one person of the day so many times that he asked to be removed from contention because he felt like he was running away with it with person of the day. And instead of doing that at his request, we sent him something special to commemorate his multi-day title.
Pulling this file out. I'm trying really desperately to get the... Oh, there's the file. There we go. And now
got it.
Yep. Now I just got to put it in a spot where I can collect it. Hang on.
Right. I was just going to do it the old-fashioned way and like show my phone, but
this is fast in real time. Oh, you were going to do the old phone?
Yeah. Oh, so fun. Well, you know, 2 minutes later, still waiting to see this picture. It's like,
where are the dinosaurs?
Bound to be a letdown now. Hi, Leslie. Oh, gosh. Kate says, I don't like scary stories, so I may disappear. Well, it's not like she's really scary. That's well,
right. She's not going to spook you.
Right. But... Hi, Coach. Hey.
Here we go. Ready?
I'm so ready.
There's Coach in his very important 5x club backpack person of the day smoking vest, complete with pipe. Where do you even find a pipe?
I feel like you should be reading us a story. So Deanna is here with us backstage as part of our backstage experience. She has a sponsorship this week. Deanna Schoss, who of course also has her own show.
Yes. So we've got that too. So yeah. No further delays. Let's grab ourselves one Julie Hutchings, not two. Let's just get the one.
Okay. I'm so ready. Anytime.
Julie, how Hello. Are you doing?
Hi. Just one.
Nothing ever goes wrong. We totally made it. Everything's great.
We did it. Hi, guys.
Hi. Carrie, what do you got? I'm getting ready to bring up a website.
All right, so let's talk about... All right, so I'm reading The Harpy, but you have several book series. It's kind of not cool to ask people if they have a favorite from their own books, but I'm going to ask you anyway because I want to know what my next book should be. So.
Oh, geez. I love The Harpy of all of them, but the second one that came out in January, The Harpy 2, is nice and easy for you. That one I really, really enjoyed writing, and I think it came out really good. My publisher, it's his favorite book of all of them. So
isn't every book of yours your publisher's favorite? Aren't they always like, this is so good, I love it so much?
Yeah, yeah. And it always feels like they're blowing your skirt up, but they can't be, right? They don't make money if you don't. So
it's true, but they do want you to write the next one, right?
They do. So yes,
why did you love that one so much? I mean, without spoiling stuff, but
when I wrote The Harpy, I never expected it to get the amount of attention that it did. I never expected it to warrant a second book. I didn't intend on writing it. And it just kind of happened. It was one of those days where I just sit down and say, I have to write something. I've got to write something. Because if you don't start somewhere, you're not going to get anywhere with it. So, you know, I just started writing and it just kind of fell out, this book. And so... you know, when my publisher picked it up, it's been with a couple of different publishers. I published it on my own, and that was with an Inked Entertainment, who's perfect. And, you know, when Audible picked it up, I was like, wow, it's a real book. Okay. And, you know, when William Morris Endeavor, when they picked it up, it's like me, you know, the the poorest middle-aged mom you know with two Hollywood agents. It's like, this is a real book. So, you know, once the second one rolled around, it was kind of exciting because I never saw it coming. It wasn't one of those that's been sitting in my head forever. And, you know, it just kind of, I made it happen. And I think that one's the most rewarding for me because I made it happen.
Do you feel like it's an idea whose time has come, maybe? Like, we're having a moment in where people are becoming a lot more open about their pasts. And if they've had, you know, Me Too type experiences, they're talking about them.
It's funny you should say that because we felt the same way, you know, with the Me Too movement. It was about that time that the Harpy really kind of, you know, hit the stage. And, oh, thank you. it was about that time that the Harpy really hit the stage. And also at the same time on television and in movies, they said, oh, we're not going near anything with sexual abuse in the past. Or sexual abuse that's on the radar at all. And so I can understand it. That's a fine line. That's a, you know, what a difficult balance that must be for Hollywood to deal with, you know? So it's always a surprise to me. And, you know, I'm just glad it's out there and that so many people have identified with it.
We should probably explain to people, like, it's an actual harpy. It's not like somebody calling a woman a harpy.
Right. No, it's an old Greek mythology, the harpy is. And so, you know, I really just want to kind of update that and make it relevant to today. Give us a strong anti-hero in Charity Blake, who is our runaway that turns into the harpy after having a really, really horrible childhood. And, you know, she does everything for the right reasons, but she does all the wrong things, you know? And so I think she's a relatable character for as unrelatable and unlikable as she can be a lot of the time.
I mean, I know what it says about me that I liked her.
Right, like, a little too easily for me too.
Yeah, I'm into it. Coach, yes, Coach Woodard wants to know, what's your inspiration for scary stories? I guess as opposed to like romances.
Yeah, I wish I had a solid answer for that, but I kind of it's the easiest thing for me to make for some reason. I think I lead a pretty straightforward life, so. I think for me to make something scary is sort of a release for me, you know, and I like finding the good in things that other people don't always. And so that's where my love of horror kind of comes from.
I think it's funny that they were kind of cautioning you against things like sexual assault kind of books, because one of the things that a book like The Harpy can do is it gives us a character to kind of pour some energy into and say, you know, if only I had this extra power or something. When people fantasize in comic books about the Incredible Hulk, kids who felt bullied said, I wish I could be my own monster and go take care of this myself. Harpy is the same kind of a thing. I'm interested in that angle, that sort of sense that this is revenge instead of, for instance, vampires. There's a wee bit of romance to it. You know, there's all these other kinds of emotions we want to plow at. Isn't revenge a great emotion for 2021 and beyond?
Fun. Yeah, it's fun. You know, I started watching The Handmaid's Tale just a couple of weeks ago. You know, I loved that book in high school. And so I was always weary of it turning into a TV show. And I'm like, oh my God, Charity Blake and Offred have so much in common. There's so much alike, you know, and I that gave me a lot of inspiration. I was really excited for that. So I'm excited to get on the third book after watching that and binging it for weeks on end.
I read the follow-up book to it called the Testaments or something. I can't remember. I did. And so I recommend that one as well if you want more inspiration. But, you know, write your stuff first because I don't want you duly influenced. But
it sounds really familiar.
I'm so like this is like George R. R. Martin when the Game of Thrones show was on and people were like, just write my books. You have no right to go to dinner. You should be back writing my story.
Why is he tweeting? Why is he
entertaining me? Exactly. I think all authors get some of that pressure.
Oh, sure. You know, I mean, that's what social media does to you. You're out there all the time. So you better not owe anybody anything.
One thing about harpies mythologically anyway, is that they were, you know, kind of carrying out some of Zeus's will. They were there to sort of bring the storms forward and that kind of a thing. How much does that track with your book? And then also, what's the cast like around a mythical creature? Because there's always rules in these books and you have to kind of start to understand them, because with one crazy thing, can there be more crazy things?
Right. And you have to draw the line somewhere. But no, that's a great question. Yeah. I mean, the rest of the cast is, they're average people. You know, I mean, when she turns into the Harpy, it's not something that she sees coming. It kind of comes up on her because she's got so much bitterness and so much rage, and she's running from so much that the Harpies, it's an alternate dimension, you know, and it is a hell dimension. It's kind of based more on Dante's Inferno, and the Wood of Suicides plays a big part in that. That's probably where I draw more from than I do from Zeus and that branch of the mythology. So the rest of the cast is all regular people. You know, I mean, we see the Harpies in the background. We see her interact with the Harpies in the alternate dimension. But for the most part, her life consists on the mortal realm. It's alongside you and I in her crappy coffee shop jobs and her bad swearing boyfriends and that sort of thing.
Well, so if you go Dante instead of Zeus, then you're talking about suicides and things like that as well. Like his Harpies, you know, had a whole different drive and all that. How close do you track to that? Yes. And is it just, nope, just turns out she's a evil beastie with, you know, fur and, I mean, feathers and claws.
Well, she's got all of that, you know. I mean, you got to make it, fun. You have to put some imagination in there. You know, I mean, I track pretty closely to it. You know, when I want to reimagine mythologies and make them something that people can relate to and take the best stuff out of, you know, the Greek background of it, Dante's background, I want to try and meld them all together and, you know, reinvent it a little bit. So you see a little bit of all of it in there, but probably the least amount of it is Zeus. We don't hear about Zeus ever. You hear an awful lot about hell.
We have whole other series of novels too, so which was first and which one's kind of dearest to your heart?
The Harpy's probably dearest to my heart, but the vampires came first. Vampires came first out of the chicken and the egg. Running Away and Running Home, those books, they came, I started those 14 years ago. And you know, like, just like the mythology that I mess around with now, I wanted to kind of meld in a Japanese death god mythology into those vampires and make it something that really only I could write. You know, I have a real interest in Japan and in martial arts and, you know, and have always loved vampires, have a solid, healthy fear of death, you know, so I thought I could push all that together. So, you know, I think those books, Running Home, Running Away, I hand wrote both of those before I even had a laptop. I'm working on the third one now, and that will finish that series out. And 14 years later.
So when did you realize you were a writer as opposed to just somebody who enjoys writing, but you're really like some other thing, like a dental assistant or something?
I wanted to be a writer since I was 10. You know, it was that was the first time somebody told me I was really, really good at something, you know, and as I wrote some silly little story in fifth grade, my teacher pulled me aside. He said, you know, this is something that you're really good at. And so, you know, I clung on to that like a creepy kid and her really nice teacher. And I wrote that all the way through high school and through college.
Hey, you know, if somebody hadn't told John Grisham, you spin a pretty good yarn, we wouldn't have all those legal thrillers today.
Right. It takes one person. Yeah, it takes one person to say something that can change the entire course of what you wanted to do.
When something like the Harpy picks up, does that make it a little harder for you to dip into something like the Five Poisons?
I really have to do one at a time. I have to. I can't write more than one book at a time. And yeah, the Five Poisons, saw it. It was published. We pulled it. It's going back out this year. I did a whole lot of extra work on it. When you get a new publisher and they know so much more than you do, does that to you. You say, oh, I think I want to pull that down and change a lot. So we did that. And you should see that book and its sequel, The Wind Between Worlds, and then The Hell in Our Hearts should be out this year, both of them. So yeah, it's a much different mindset.
Janice is asking if you have a writing group that you work with.
You know, I have a lot of contacts on Twitter and, you know, a great writing community. I mean, there's a hashtag writing community. Any time of the day, you can pop on Twitter and put that hashtag up and you'll find a group of people that are writing right then and will time each other and check in with each other and, you know, make sure the other one didn't nod off if it's 5 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, that's really who I rely on is Twitter is amazing for writers.
There's also... I'm so sorry. No, I saw there was another. So Elizabeth wants to know if it's going to be a comic series too, or a movie, or what's coming.
You're so nice to ask that. I see a comic version of this so very much. And our agents have been talking about it, but it kind of fizzled out. And, you know, it was a matter of signing over rights. And there's an independent comic artist that I really, really would love to work with. And I would love to see it made into graphic novels. There's forever talk in Hollywood about it. You know, I take real pleasure in finding out who rejected it.
You know, we had a comic. We had a comic book creator on here, so we should hook them up, Chris. Indeed. Remember the company?
Yeah. Well, not only that, but it's a new spin at doing a comic publishing house because it's all fan created. Every single thing is funded by fans. So fans vote with their dollars on every single project. So if someone decides they're doing a blind box vinyl toy collection, well, then fans, you know, fund that enough that it's going to roll forward and that sort of thing. So
that's excellent. Totally
blanking on his name, but he's a lovely gentleman. There's a super cliche question that you and I even joked about backstage a little, which is, you know, what's your day-to-day of writing look like? But let me ask you this question a different way. Why do people think that there's some magic in that particular old silk hat? Why do people think that if they hear your writing methodology, it might help them with theirs?
I think it's just surprising to a lot of the people I talk to anyway, that I actually publish. You know, so many people, everybody says, you know, I want to write a book. And, you know, the thing I tell everybody is you can. Anybody can. It's a skill like anything else. It's a matter of making the right contacts. It's a matter of research. It's something that you practice at. And
right.
Yeah, I mean, you. I didn't ask anybody not to ask that question.
Yes, you did.
but yeah, I mean, it's a matter of hard work, you know, and you got to make those words work for you, you know, and I just kind of threw all my eggs into this basket and it had better work. You put all your eggs into any basket, they have to work.
Well, enough keyboards, enough monkeys, that kind of a thing. You know, you get that sort of feeling like, here we are again, you know, with Shakespeare's works. We have to take a quick break and do a couple ad reads. So I'm going to stick you backstage for just a quick second. Get yourself a drink.
Miss Deanna, tell Deanna, hey.
Okay.
Say hi to Deanna back there.
You can't actually. But I mean, you can wait.
Let's pretend you can. All right. Well, hey, Deanna is one of our sponsors. Hey.
Hey.
I love when I do my reads like that.
Hey, you and I should do a show together.
Let's do it. If we did a show together, what could we make it on? How about StreamYard? We're sponsored by StreamYard. It's a great video app. It lets you make a show just like this. Lickety split easy.
Yep. Get your own scary author.
That's right. Get your own damn scary author. Hey, do you ever like what we do on this show, but you find us unattractive? Great. Just listen to us anywhere that you find audio podcasts. That's great. We're hosted by Castos, though, because what a great hosting company. They're at least
if you are looking for someone to host your audio podcast, check out castos.com.
There we go. Hey, did you ever want a .online domain? You can go to cbrogan.me/online, get one for a whole buck. Use the code Chris, all caps, and you can buy your own domain. You could have prettyscary.online.
Harpy.online.
For $1.
Harpy.online.
Do you hate Google? Maybe you just don't want them knowing all of your things. How about a whole different search engine? Presearch. Presearch.com allows you to search in a whole new way. It's got so many really cool ideas built into it. I've been using this for an entire month. I guess every time Kate puts more backpack coins into the sponsorship, I'll be using Presearch every week. Kate's paying for my search engine choice right now. But it's been great. Presearch.com. So
if you're logged in, you actually earn cryptocurrency just for using Presearch. But the whole reason we did a whole show with the owner, not because they sponsored, but the founder, because the reason he started it was that Google had manually buried a bunch of local and independent search results because they had like a rival offering for shopping sites and stuff. And he didn't like that. So he started Presearch. And I thought that is a cool story.
And like we said, Deanna Shost is hanging out with us backstage, but hey, she's also a sponsor. You can see her show, Intercultural Spark. It's live Thursdays at 10 a.m. Central Time, interculturalspark.com. Deanna has a really different way of doing her interviews with people. I find we've had a couple of mutual guests. And when Deanna has a guest, she gets to this really incredible interview, gets to the heart of them. And then I'll have the same person. And they'll be like, yes. I'm like, oh, that's not what I was expecting. So she has some incredible stuff. She makes wonderful, wonderful interviews. Check out Intercultural Spark with Deanna Shaw.
That sketch is a good likeness.
Very cheery. It's got the smile cooked right up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She had a big smile. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing I noticed about her profile photo on, I forget which network, it doesn't matter. One of the networks.
The face, smile. Maybe.
So let's get Julie back. Let's
grab a Julie. Hey, more welcome back. That was quick.
You got me.
I mean, hey.
Hello. So we had a few questions come in. People wanted to know, hopefully, a movie or TV series. So similar question, but this is Chris's mom, so you have to tell
her. Oh, hi, Mom. my agents for the Harpy work really, really hard at getting this, working on a movie, working for TV shows. They're working really hard, and they have been for 2 years on this. When the Five Poison series comes out again this year, my agent for that is working pretty hard on that too. And that, if I see anything that's really ready for television, I would say that the Five Poisons probably is. Nobody wants to put a vampire.
What else is kicking around in there? Like, I know it's premature probably for you to talk about it, but if there's something that you feel like, is there a next thing after the Harpy, or do you feel like you can't even think about that until that series is completely out of you? Geez.
No, I have them planned out forever. I have a single standalone horror novel that I've been wanting to write forever. And it's a young adult called Inscription. And I wrote four short stories that kind of all went together. I only wrote one, and then somebody asked for more, and then they asked for more. And so now I have a short story collection called Inscription, and people want it to be a novel. So that's what's next for me. My publisher doesn't know that yet.
So you take suggestions. David. There's other authors that take no suggestions from anyone. Just do whatever they want all the time.
Who might that be?
Leonard Cohen. So one thought I was having, though, is that one challenge, even with me writing nonfiction, is that I will get new ideas while I'm working on a current idea, and it won't match the framework. What do you do with your ideas in those circumstances? You're writing really feverishly on this, and you go, aliens! What do you do with that thought? Does it just get chucked out the window, or do you at least write it down somewhere and keep it?
Oh, yeah, no, it gets chucked into the folder of the crazy ideas, and I put a rubber band around it. It actually says crazy ideas on it, and I just shove it aside. Yeah. So I try to immerse myself completely in everything that has to do with the one book I'm writing, because I do so many different things in a day. If my head isn't in that one book, you know, all day long, then I'm toast. I can't write anything. So I'm also mom, what about you know?
Right. I was going to say, what about the other people like in your sphere that have to put up with this? Like, who's emptying the dishwasher and, you know, deciding what's for dinner along with you? Like, or are you like, I don't care, I'm busy.
No, I found a way to work. I'm not one of those that has this is my writing time and everybody leave me alone. I'm really a lot better at writing 500 words here, 500 words there. If I write 500 words four times a day, that's, you know, that's a few chapters right there. So I really squeeze it in everywhere I go. And, you know, and I think that's part of why I can only do one at a time, because if I did more than one at a time, that would be mental. That would be.
Kate says, my crazy ideas folder is quite thick. Mine's a little different. I have a terrible ideas folder.
And now that I'd like to see. Yeah.
It comes in several volumes, actually. It's like accordion folders like a lawyer has. And yeah.
No idea. It's terrible. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah. We'll talk after.
Are bad decisions the same as terrible ideas? Because I have a huge folder of that.
I don't know. Did a sheriff sign them?
That's the movie I'm waiting to see.
MyBadDecisions.com.
.online.
I've got to ask a question. This is important. What's your go-to pizza?
Oh, Kingston House of Pizza, which is the next town over, and nobody can top them. Nobody anywhere in the whole wide world.
Well, I mean, they can top it with like pepperoni. Yeah,
they can top it with pepperoni. That's it.
Yeah.
But nobody else can. If you want me to try to see if you want to attempt to top them, you can just mail them to my house.
Well, I like George's Pizza. George's Pizza in Harwich, Mass. So if you're ever down on Cape Cod for vacation or something, like a little further down there, give that a try.
Yeah. That's a day. Welcome to the Backpack
Show, where we talk about good local pizza places and where you have to go to try them.
On the Cape.
On the Cape. Yep. It's a niche show. It's a niche offering, but we encourage people to do that.
I was in the Rocky Nook part of Kingston once, but it was about 1 a.m. and I found a quahog in low tide. It was a very good moment.
That's like 5 minutes up the street for me. The Five Poison series, that's where those girls live.
Now I can see it. This is like Ipswich, Mass with the Witches of Eastwick. You know, you get a chance to sort of see roughly where they were doing the filming anyway.
Oh, that was a great movie, wasn't it?
It was swell.
Love that movie. I know.
It was swell. Well, so let's get crazy for a minute and let's cast these things. Like, who's the harpy? Who's got to be the, you know, harpy character that you most wish to see? In that?
That's tough because if you say the wrong thing, like later
well,
on.
Well, I know. That's probably
true. I know.
That's probably not fair.
I got two.
Let's manifest, like Deanna would say. Let's manifest.
Manifest. I like manifest. Yeah. Bella Thorne would be a great Harpy. She's just got it. And Taylor Momsen, Pretty Deadly. She'd be so. Taylor Momsen was a little girl in the Grinch movie, the Jim Carrey Grinch movie. She was Cindy Lou Who. Yeah, look her up now. And she is this part. I would love her. She's the original inspiration.
Perfect
for it. Yeah,
I love it. So I'm checking out the comments over here. Oh, quahog pizza. No. Stop.
That's worse than it.
Yeah.
Chovies.
That sounds weird on everybody's end, Kate. We're having audio love tonight. So
yeah, a little weird.
Yesterday we had everything love with Coach Don Saxby.
I don't know. Things happen. Mm-hmm. Things happen. We're working through it. So at least we can hear you. So
good.
Manifesting that.
Keep it down. Yeah. Manifesting. Yes.
And if so we cast Harpy. Any witches show up for the poison? Any other people we could cast for your Five Poison series?
That's hard because there's so many awesome young actresses, you know, actors. There's so many good ones. I can't even begin to think.
You don't just say Amelia Clark because she's like, you know, kind of.
Yeah, is that just a go-to? Just throw out Amelia Clark.
Point. Like, I'll just roll her out, like Helena Bonham Carter. You're getting her.
Yeah, right. Always Helena Bonham Carter. Yeah, no. That Five Poisons, I have never cast that in my head. Never, ever.
Tell me, like, look at that girl. That's kind of Amelia Clark. That's why I said
You know, it's funny. Just makeup and hair, Chris. We all don't look alike.
It's funny because that wasn't my original cover. And, you know, and my publisher said, these covers are going to, they are going to sell this book more than your original cover would. So I said, okay, go for it. And I love them, but that's not at all what character looks like. So that's how covers work. And that is how covers work.
Ever do anything like that with one of your covers, Chris? Change it to something you didn't like? No, you're muted. FYI.
My first cover was Trust Agent. I've never run a video show before. We spent so much money. It was our first ever book. We spent so much money designing a cover and brought it to the meetings. Like, look, this is the cover we built. And they were like, you don't know how this works, do you? And we're like, what? And burn the money. Right. That's how that went. So
yeah, we had a plan. You get really excited about it and then not so much.
Yeah. So we are at that part of the show where we're going to ask the backpack question and a few things. We're also going to identify our person of the day. And Deanna, get ready because we're dragging you out to ask you the backpack question because why not? You're backstage. You might as well come up with one. But first, let's do our person of the
day. Oh, and here's our person of the day. Kaboom!
You know who I'm super tempted to make person of the day.
No. I do know.
The jacket.
Coach Woodard.
So mad.
We retired him though because we had that. We gave him that jacket, and by we, Carrie's big idea. That was super smart of her.
Well, that's a pocket square, Coach. It will come out if you just want to wear the smoking jacket and not explain to everybody what the backpack show is.
That is an option. You don't have to explain anything if you're wearing a smoking jacket.
It's really dope. Right?
So smoking jackets totally work.
You're probably drinking brandy out of like a little snifter.
Right.
It's talking just about
their,
yeah, very important things.
So we're going to grab Deanna from backstage. Hi, Deanna.
Hello. Hi. I'm leaving you. He likes people on their proper side.
Have to be on so. The same side.
Yeah.
So yeah. Thank you again for sponsoring coming backstage. I mean, did you see anything or feel anything different from back there that you wouldn't have in the front, or was it fun, or what do you think?
Absolutely, positively cannot be distracted when I'm backstage, because I'm really drawn in when I'm backstage. Even though I'm backstage, you can see my little, you know, my little thumbnail. And I thought, well, what if like I'm sponsoring and I'm over here going like this? What could be more important than sponsoring the backpack show and being fully attentive? So,
oh, lots of things, but
okay. But Julie, you guys, I love the show always. Julie, you are fascinating. I have like 1,000 questions. I'm finding you on Twitter and everywhere because it's so exciting. It's so exciting, like everything you're doing. I love it. Sure.
Well, I'm shaking you both down for a question, which is what goes in your backpack? We've asked this question to Sir Mix-a-Lot, to Sister Ann Flanagan, everybody in between. This could be something physical, like an avocado. It could be something metaphorical, like hope for the future. Carrie, what's something physical people could throw in their backpack?
Extra set of teeth.
An extra set of teeth.
It's always going to be my favorite answer.
You don't want those to go. Yes.
No. And how about something metaphorical? Carrie, what would you put in there?
Oh, let me think. Kindness. I think it's so important.
Kindness is a great one. Julie Hutchings, you're our guest today. What would you add to the backpack next couple of years to keep us successful?
But I try to make this saying that everybody in the world will hook onto, but it doesn't work out. So I put this on bookmarks when I give them to the kids at school, when I do the book fairs and stuff, which is make your passion matter. If you're passionate about something, do something with it. Do something with it for you. Do something with it for the people that you love. Do something for strangers. Make your passion into something. Don't just let it sit sedentary. So that bookmark that says that on it is what will be in my
backpack. I like it. I'm also glad you didn't miss out on it, Your Highness.
I am so excited. Thank you for joining us. Because we were on Twitter and I was like, I had no reason to think she would even answer me. But I was like, you need to.
I love this stuff. And Deanna, what would you add to our backpack today? Something physical or metaphorical?
All right. It's a little device that I guess I'm creating that does two things. It has a disco beat so that, because you can't be sad if you're playing disco music. So it plays disco music, or it's a translator. So whoever you meet, no matter what language they speak, you can do a little translation and communicate with them.
Ooh.
That's amazing.
Like Google Translate, but better, like they had in the TARDIS or something. I want what they had in the TARDIS in Doctor Who, where you just automatically sounded like you were from there.
I don't know. There's something kind of fun, though, about trying to speak another language, even if your accent's terrible. There's something, I don't know, there's something fun about the authenticity of that.
My accent's guaranteed to be terrible. I'm from Massachusetts.
I was thinking of Babelfish myself, but you know.
There was somebody who said, how come I can understand you? And I met some other Americans and I couldn't understand them at all. And I said, well, where were they from? And they said, Texas.
I think Texas is a perfectly servable accent. Listen, the one thing we didn't talk to you about backstage, Julie, when we were setting this up because of all the shenanigans, was that my grandmother, of course, is well known for her scary stories. One of the things that she did was craft her own scary stories around the campfire. The one that she gave that scared me the most. I mean, that's
a consumable